Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Good evening, everybody. It's Bob, and this is Purple Radio Zombie Apocalypse, so on Live Paranormal. And I hope everyone's doing well. I was off the last show because of holidays, and I thank you for missing me. And upon my return to the Live Paranormal chat room, I'm told that someone actually used my advice during Hurricane Sandy to make that list, and they did, and they came out a little bit better than most people did for their area. So I'm kind of glad that common sense actually worked. It's so rare today. It's almost a superpower. To be really honest with you, Sandy is a really good example of why everybody needs to prepare. It's a horrible, horrible thing. We were never told it was going to be a hurricane strength. In fact, the National Weather Service had to change its way. It's reporting hurricanes just so it met the criteria that Sandy presented because it was a little bit weird. It was tropical strength until it hit landfall, then it increased. So they had to go back and change the rules and change how they do things. So something like that will never happen again. People will not be taken unprepared. We have 12 days left until the end of the world. I hope everybody's getting ready for it. I know that a lot of people around the world have been panicking. A friend of mine, James, he runs a website called PrepperPodcast.com, and he found these articles. But it seems that the Mayan apocalypse is spreading fear everywhere. There is take a look here. A shortage of candles and essentials have been reported in China as Russia, along with an explosion in sales of survival shelters in America. In France, people are preparing to converge on a mountain where they believe aliens will rescue them. Okay, and why should they rescue us exactly? Okay. This is taken from the Telegraph newspaper. The precise matter of Armageddon remains vague, ranging from catastrophic celestial collision between the Earth and a mystical planet Nibiru, also known as Planet X, a disastrous crash with the comet, or the annihilation of civilization by a giant solar storm. Wait, it's not the annihilation of civilization. Jeez, get it right. It's a solar flare that wipes us out. Now, there's one manufacturer of high-tech underground survival shelters has seen its business explode. Bad choice of words, by the way. We've gone from one a month to one a day. I don't have an opinion on the Mayan calendar, but when astrophysicists come to me, buy my shelters, and tell me to prepare for solar flares, radiation, EMPs, which are electromagnetic pulses, I'm going underground on the 19th and coming out on the 23rd. It's just in case anybody's right. And so that's what people are doing right now. They're getting ready 2 weeks away from this possible destruction, which is utterly amazing because I don't know for what the past, 2012 years that people have known that this calendar runs out. So they're now panicking. And when people panic, they get a little crazy and they get really unstable. And another website here, same website, different article. The head of our chain of hardware stores in Chita, Siberia, told reporters that they have pretty much ran out of candles. Some shopkeepers have taken a tongue-in-cheek approach. They have end-of-the-world kits, which include vodka, a bar of soap, and a piece of rope. I don't understand that. I have no idea. I get the rope. I don't understand the soap. Let's see. Panic buyers in another province of Russia have bought all the flashlights and thermos flasks, while locals in another place have rushed to buy kerosene and other supplies after an article supposedly written by a Tibetan monk appeared in the local paper confirming the prediction of the December 21st catastrophe. Another place has run out of salt, and a disgruntled resident wrote to local authorities demanding they prepare themselves for the electricity cuts and looting which will surely accompany the planet's final moments. Really, think about it. Final moments and you're worried about people looting? The last thing you need to worry about. Well, these businesses. Let's see. In an editorial on Friday, the Moscow broadsheet, Vedomosti said the atmosphere of unease reflected something deep in the Russian character. Your average American will run for salt and matches only on the real threat of a storm or tornado announced by authorities for the next day. Our Russian psychosis has two curious features. Firstly, that an 80% Christian Orthodox society for some reason reacts to a Mayan calendar which no one has ever seen. And secondly, that the end of the world is perceived as an economic crisis that can be survived on the banal level of consumption. Which is rather true. Well, let's take a look at that. So, let's talk about the possibility real quick of the end of the world happening. Is it possible? Yes. It is possible on December 21st, the world will come to a screeching halt, and we will all die. There's a distinct possibility. Let's go with possibilities here. Did anybody ever think there's a possibility that the San Francisco earthquake was going to strike back in the early 1900s, killing so many people? No. Did people think that a tsunami was going to strike Indonesia, killing hundreds of thousands of people? Was there a warning? No. And no. Did anybody think that the Tunguska resident province in Russia would be struck by a meteor that would level trees for miles? No. The thing is that you have three situations. You have people that say that things are going to happen. You have scientists that say that things have a chance of happening, but will never happen in our lifetime. And then you have the actual event that's going to happen that nobody's prepared for. This is what really amazes me with science. I love science. The scientists will first say it is impossible for that to happen. It can never happen. There is a distinct possibility it could happen. In fact, it happened once in Earth's history. In fact, you know, it's happened more than once. It's happened twice, 3, 5, 6, 10 times already in the last 200 years. You know, there's a 50-50 chance that it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen a lot more frequently now than ever before. It's just amazing how they can just work this around into it'll never happen to, we probably ought to get prepared for it. So we don't know what's going to happen on December 21st. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You see, the strange thing about tomorrow is it's not here yet. It's not been written down, so we don't know. The last thing I have on my day planner is to die. So that's the last thing I have to worry about. So some of the possibilities that we could run into, the sun's been very, very active. So the solar flare could take place, you know, the Carrington event. We could all be back in the 1850s technology-wise. Goodbye cell phones, tablets, computers, internet, cable. Oh, my God, Farmville is now dead. Who's going to take care of my crops, my wife would say. So it's the solar flare is a distinct possibility. That's a global disaster. If we're lucky, China and Russia are pointing in that direction when it happens, and maybe we'll be spared. Yeah, and pigs will fly out somewhere. Hang on, I need some coffee. Yeah, and the chat room, yeah, they're going, okay, I'm going to borrow soap. I'm afraid to think about that one. So we know that as a global destruction, we're looking at the possibility of a solar flare, maybe massive, you know, crustal disruption. And this happened before. It happened millions of years ago. Very good. Very good. I mean, it means it can happen again. And then we were looking at the most local-type situations. Now, there's one that no one has ever really talked about on December 21st, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But most of the things that we ever face in disasters are local disasters. I'm in Northeast Pennsylvania. I have two things I have to worry about. Three. I'm sorry. The first is blizzards. The second is going to be flooding. The third are rabid groundhogs. I can't remember what their names were. So those are the three things that I have to worry about. And those groundhogs are mean little suckers. They move fast. So those are the three things that I need to prepare for. Somebody in Florida has three things as well. They have hurricanes, they have, you know, possible tsunami, and they've got some little lady behind the wheel. Those are the three things you have to worry about in Florida. What about Arizona? Baking heat, flash floods, and some lady going to bingo. All right, little old man, let's be fair. So we each have local things that we have to worry about. And those are the things that can really mess us up. But the one thing that no one's ever really talked about is just the fact of humanity. The civil unrest, it's just the plain, mean, and nasty folks that breathe and walk this earth, they can bring back or bring down a whole civilization fairly quickly all by themselves. When you consider, you know, all the past, you know, riots, and then you have the wars, and this, the political, you know, environment today and the financial environment, yes, the end of the world as we know it could happen just because people rally and protest at such a point that the world that you know is no longer there. Yes, that sucks. Here's another article. It's called, Are You Ready for Doomsday? Supervolcanoes, nuclear war, economic collapse, and polar shifts. Many Americans believe the end of the world is coming. I don't know. Do you believe the end of the world is coming? Well, it has to. The sun has to run out of fuel. So, yes, the possibility of this, of the world ending is most likely. It's got to. Nothing is forever. Let's see. The growing movement of things breaking down has gained so much traction there are even telephone shows and dating sites dedicated to ideas of doomsday preparation. The Doomsday Prepper show. Well, there's a new doomsday thing. It's that's on that prepperpodcast.com. It's somebody looking for more folks. And I was approached to talk to a local TV show, or actually not local, but in Harrisburg. And no, because you don't see what you're looking for. You won't see what you're looking for, you know, in my house. It's just the way it is. But everybody wants to do a TV show on preppers. Instead of maybe, I don't know, doing a documentary, a legitimate type thing on how you do things, think about it. Wouldn't that gain, you know, more attention? People want to be educated more than entertained, unless you're from New Jersey. Mike, anytime, that's on the chat room, have them email me. I'll talk to you later. All right. So they're not doing the documentaries, which they really should. They really, really should do documentaries on how to do things. Let me give you some good examples. One of the things that will do you in quicker than anything else after disaster is skin infections. It's getting a cut, getting infected, it becomes septic, and you die. Very common. If they did a documentary on how to make soap at home, it doesn't take much. Just take a bunch of ashes, wood ashes, okay? And then fat, some kind of rendered fat. That's it. That's pretty much all soap is. But do you see that? No. What they see is, well, let's take a look at your bunker. No, we don't want to see my bunker. Let's see your, you know, your solar escape panel. I don't have a solar escape panel, but everybody's got a solar escape panel. Or some kind of crap like this. This is nonsense. It's pretty much just horse nonsense. You know what I mean? Horse poop. I'm looking in to see if I can find another article. But anyways, that's what's facing humanity as a whole is going to be panic. The Y2K thing. I remember my son, I don't remember how old he was. I think he was 12 at the time when 9/11, when Y2K came along. And at the last minute, it's like, we need to get water stored. And he grabbed a milk jug and he filled up with water. I'm talking like 11:50 p.m. New Year's Eve type thing. And I told him, it's not going to make any difference. Don't worry about it. Because as Y2K code went around the world, I was listening on the radio because the first thing you need to have is good intelligence when it comes to any kind of disaster. What's going on out there? Pay attention to what's on the radio, or the radio in particular, because their advertising rates are much better and they don't really care about something snazzy. They just want to get the truth out there. but nothing was going on, and so I wasn't too panicky when it happened on the West Coast. And you can tell that when people do not prepare, they do not make a list, they panic. So that's why I've always told you, sit down and make a plan. It's not that hard. Basic supplies, food, water, a form of shelter in case you need it, like a tent or a lean-to or a cave, a mine, somewhere like that, so that you can get out of the elements and stay warm. Know how to make a fire, even if it's just with a lighter and some sticks. And if you want to really, this is scary, light a Dorito on fire and use that to help keep your fire going. That thing will burn for like 3 minutes, a Dorito. So just make a plan. That's it. Making a plan is one of the easiest things you can do. You know, there's this list out there, and the Covert Prepper's 10 Christmas presents he wants. And that's my friend James. And he included a link to all these, but he goes, notepads and pens. Paper that take notes, plan your next action, and to figure things out intelligently instead of acting on the moment. That's what a lot of people are doing. The most dangerous person is one that's unplanned and scared. And so if you write your plans down, you will not be scared. You'll be worried, you'll be nervous, but you won't be terrified. You won't be acting like a scared animal. Thermal underwear, which is a really good idea because in most parts of the country this time of year, it's freaking cold. Let's see here, duct tape. And he puts down like this, needs an explanation. Okay, duct tape. It works. The duct tape actually comes in different colors and different types. It's really amazing how much duct tape has changed. But try for the original duct tape. Why? Because it's the original and it's the strongest. He says here, time management, because this way you can learn how to do things so much more. Sorry, it's been a long day. I'm yawning. And because of the way time management works, you're going to be most effective because you're planning better. And this is an interesting one I've never seen before. These are plastic cases that you would put like a AAA battery into. So now you have a AA battery. In this case, it is D cells for AA batteries. So when you have your D cells, you can now, if you need D cells, you can use AA batteries to fill in the gap. But they also have AAAs that you put in for AAs. So you can run a D cell battery. A D cell object like a mag light or a radio that only takes D cells, and you can put AAAs into the AAs, the AAs into the Cs or Ds, and now you've got your radio. It's not going to last as long, but it's good in a pinch. It's better than trying to wire things up with tape and loose wire. Now, he's also recommending these 8-pack AA 2200 milliamp hour nickel metal hydride rechargeable batteries. Which would go good in those D cell battery cases. I already told you about the AAA batteries. The Nebo Redline Tactical Flashlight Strobe SOS. I've seen a video on this. It's actually pretty cool. It has three settings for regular flashlight. There's regular flashlight, which is like 220 lumens, and then down to 150 lumens, and then 90 lumens. And then you click it again. And then it'll go to SOS. And then if you're ever in a combat situation, a shootout, or somebody comes into your house and you want to disorient them, there's a strobe. You point it at their face, and it's a bright light, and the strobing will be disoriented. A crystal radio kit. Now, crystal radio kits are a really good idea because when you're without power, like, for example, the classic electromagnetic pulse, solar storm, you're going to have radio still. And that is very important. Radio is very, very important for getting information across the masses. It's crystal radio set. Let's see here. Buy one $13.95 or brand new for $17.41. And then he goes with the Sawyer water filter. And we've talked about that in the past. It'll give 540 gallons a day, if I remember right. And you can definitely do a lot better. Let's see here. Let me do it. Yeah. It'll do a lot better when you have the water than when you don't have the water. I'm bummed out by that. Anyways, that is a list of supplies that you can get, some extra special ones. And just checking the chat room. Am I still on? Okay, I'm still on. Great. So that is how you can also get prepared for doomsday. Is you can look around and find simple Christmas items. Some of the best items that you can get would be bleach so that you can sterilize water. Another good gift is the popcorn can, because you can line that with cardboard, and you can tape the cardboard around the inside and the bottom and the top of the can. And this way, if there's electromagnetic pulse, your items will be safe. You know, and to be quite honest with you, fully charge your batteries up, you know, on your cell phones or whatever, when you go to bed, put them, you know, turn them off, put them in the can, you know, your tablets or whatever, and then, you know, keep them in the can unless you need them. That's a great idea because we really do have a pretty active sun, and it'll keep going and going and going until something bad does happen. I'm just looking around here. Okay, someone's got net issues on the chat room. One of the things that people run into when it comes to planning is food. And food is very, very important. It's one of my favorite things to do is eat. And what they tend to think is, well, what I need to do is have beans and rice. Well, yes, beans and rice are a great way to get protein and all your essential amino acids. But the problem is it's going to get real old real quick. So you need to have a plan on what you're going to be doing after you have a disaster. What are you going to eat? And so what I think is a really good thing to stock up on are those canned meats, those canned hams. Let's say you're just doing beans and rice. That's it. Canned meats will definitely add extra protein, but it also adds extra flavor to some kind of dish. Getting a combination spice rack, you know, there's the different spices on there, will make any meal taste a whole lot better. You can get the steak spices. That'll make it taste better. You can get the, if you have some pasta to toss in all this mix, you're getting yourself some extra carbohydrates, some extra sugars, and that way you can actually live a little bit longer. One of the best ones to get would be like a macaroni, because those are small, they're easy to measure. When it comes to preparing, you just boil water. It's real, not rocket scientist. That's important. You need to be able to make something that you can do in a pinch. When you have some other kind of foods that you can stock up on, just stay with something simple. Canned foods. Canned foods are great foods. Yes, they're loaded with sodium. But I got news for you. You're trying to survive. Sodium is the least of your worries. What you're looking for is calories and fats. Why? Because calories will get you through the day, and fats will fat you up. It will help you last longer. And I had somebody ask me one time, well, just how much food do I need? As much as you can safely store. There was somebody had said that we need to have, 6 months of money reserved. I mean, that's financial planning. You got to have 6 months of your wages stored up just in case there's, you lose your job. But nobody ever says to store up 6 months worth of food now, do they? They should. They really, really should, because that's important. Because if you store up on the food, then what you need for grocery money from your 6 months worth of wages is no longer needed, so they can maybe make it last longer to like 7 months or 8 months. So stock up on food. And if you stocked up for a month, besides what you already have in the house, you're going to be doing so much more better. because most people aren't going to be stocked up, and therefore they're going to be hungry. And how much longer are they going to be around? If you can last that 1 month past them, they're not going to be around. They're going to go find food somewhere else, hopefully. I hate to see anything bad happen to people, but if they're crazy, then they're crazy, and they need to be watched out for. So stocking up at least a month's worth per person. The FEMA says 2 weeks. What's an extra 2 weeks of storing? Let's think about it. It's not that hard. There is something from Augustin's Farm. Yeah, I saw it at Walmart for like $70. That's not Augustin's Farm. Yeah, it was Augustin's Farm. But they have another bucket. It's like $100, $115. It's enough food for one person for 1 month. $100. And you have food for a month for one person. And it's not like MREs or anything like that. It's soups, it's chilies, it's milk substitute. So that it's good stuff. And I can't remember how to spell Augustin's Farm. Just type in Augustin's Farm, AGAUSON, and that way you can take a look at some of the prices. They may have something on sale, too. So they say 2 weeks. 2 weeks is a good start, but really you ought to have a month. But don't get, beans and rice, really. Do you really eat beans and rice every day? Are you the type that puts it on a taco? Because beans and rice belong on a taco. So, or a burrito. So find things that your family likes. Your family likes spaghetti? Great. Stock up on spaghetti sauce. Do your family like smoked salmon? Is fish part of your diet? Learn how to smoke the fish. Smoked fish will last for months. So get some fish. Learn how to smoke it. You can get like a little cheap smoker. Well, I'm thinking about it. I need to write that down because my dad has got one that I need to pick up. But anyways, so learn how to smoke your meat, like with the little cheese smokers, and that way they'll last longer. Whatever your family likes to eat, this is what you need to prepare for. You may have, what is it? It's a filet mignon stomach, but a hamburger budget. So you need to figure out how you're going to do that. How are you going to eat well when you have no money? That's the trick. That is one of the hardest things that you have to do. I'm just still working here. Okay, so we've got the water, which is really simple to store. It's not very hard at all. When it's rainy, you should be able to store a bunch of water for everybody during that one rainstorm. And I mean a bunch of water. It'll probably take you 15 minutes tops to make a hole in the ground. It might take 5 minutes, seriously. And then you get some plastic and you make a little liner around it. And then you take water from the drain spout, and you put it in a bucket and you fill it up that way. And you can store up water for every cubic foot, 12 inches by 12 inches by 12 inches is enough water for one person for 2 weeks. And all you need is a shovel. And you can even use a plastic trash bag to just store the water. You make that's the liner. Okay, so it's got plastic. It can leach. Yes, in 5 to 10 years, you're going to use that water a whole lot quicker than that. So store up on water. Store up on your food. This is for whatever the disaster is going to strike us. And when it rains, every time it rains, every time it snows, go out and collect that water. Refill your little buckets, your little reservoirs, your little whatever you want to call them, your little wells. And that way, you're always going to have fresh water. Fresh water is very important. And that bleach I suggested that you stock up on, it's 8 drops per gallon. So if you've got one cubic foot, 7 gallons, so it's 56 drops of bleach that needs to go into that 1 gallon container, or that 1 cubic foot container. See how hard that was? That wasn't hard at all, was it? And I'm taking a look, so I'm going to take the little break real quick here. Hope this works.
thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Okay, back now. Just taking a look at some of the things that are going on here. There's something called Taxmageddon. We've got Armageddon was that apocalypse. And then Armageddon is a lot worse than that. But in between those two, we've got something called Taxmageddon. Taxmageddon is what's going to happen starting January 1. It's this fiscal cliff you've heard about so much. Pretty much what's going to happen is $500 billion in new taxes are going to be striking the United States. So we need to plan on this, and the only way we can do on this is basically preparing for an economic collapse. And that's the tough part. And all we need to do is just get ready. And it's one of the hardest things we have to do. Getting ready is pretty darn hard. We really don't want to, in a way, because it's work. But we really need to. And so we have to, get ready. It's one of those hard things. And unfortunately, it's what we need to start doing. So let's talk about getting ready for an economic collapse. And this comes from a couple different places. This one is the Modern Survival Blog. And that is John Wesley Rawls, I believe. So this is what he recommends. First, think about the money. We all need some money, the paper funny money, because that's what most of the stores take in exchange together for their goods. You've got to save up some money. Sure, all bets are off if it turns into a zombie apocalypse, but until then, for goodness sakes, save some money. And one of the best ways to do it, which would probably kill you, is get a piggy bank. Get a Coke bottle. Make it so you can just put your spare change in there. Spare change is good change. Just put it in there and forget about it. Next thing, cash will be king. In the early stages of a major collapse, most funny money, which is what he calls, fiat money, is in the form of digital dollars. But if the digital system is in the heat upheaval or unavailable, according to like a bank holiday, people always take cash until and unless they lose complete confidence in it. Therefore, keep an ample supply of cash at home. Not at the bank. Do not keep 100s. Keep 20s, 10s, 5s, and also 1s. It's kind of funny looking at $1,000 worth of 1s versus the same stack of 20s. Now, here's the thing. I was talking to this guy. I was getting my car inspected. They have this evil inspection program in Pennsylvania. And I hate it. And he's just ready to just go cash because what they do is they keep track of the sales tax in here. And if you deposit money, then your books, they will come in and check your books to make sure that you're paying your fair share of the sales tax, which is a big government intrusion. They want their, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. No, it's not Caesar's. The poor man's gold, silver. Keep some silver at home. If the dollar devalues rapidly, inflation, then the price of silver and gold will continue to go higher and higher. You will hold the value through the storm with gold and silver commodities. Whatever comes out of the other end, it will surely transfer your silver and gold to the new currency. Silver will be simple to barter with because 1 ounce coin is currently worth $43, whereas an ounce of gold is currently worth $1,800 as of, September 2011. The less money than you owe, the better you will survive through the economic storm. Beware of taking on any new debt. That's the thing. Don't take any new debt. Next thing, do not invest in Wall Street. At least, if you think about it, they're running a Ponzi scheme. They're pumping up the Apple stock. Yeah, Apple's doing great. Apple's doing great. And yeah, it may be. And then comes an economic collapse, and all that money you've pumped into it is now gone. So keep that money at home. Invest in your home. You need home repairs? Get them done. If you need ammunition or weapons, get them then. Don't keep your money all in one bank. Even though you feel confident that your bank is too big to fail, really, no bank is too big to fail. Think of the things that you will need before you ever become short of money, and buy those things now before there's a problem. In other words, stock up. You know, think about your weekly consumable supplies, your food and other items that you consume each month. And then you work to eliminate your debt. That's very important. Reduce your debt. And then the snowballing is a great way to do it. Let's see. Is that one? Okay. And then think about other ways you could earn some money. You know, the one thing that you could do actually is sell your plasma. You know, get about $100 a week. Well, less than $100 a week, but $450 a week. And that's something you can consider doing. There's another thing, if you have a pen and paper, I hope you do, is something called Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R. F-I-V-E-R-R, yeah, Fiverr.com. Now, what Fiverr.com is it's a way for you to earn $5. There's another one called Gopher, G-O-F-E-R-R. That's $25. So basically, you could say, I'll do a voice impersonation of Bob for $5. You know, 30-second ad, a 30-second promo, a 30-second video, and then people use it. Now, I know on some websites they use this, and it's pretty good. It's really good. So if you think, if you've got some talent, if you're pretty good at programming, you can write scripts, you know, you can put that towards a little extra income, and it's extra income, and that's the important thing. Any kind of income is good income. And let's see. That's enough of that one. All right, now this other one comes from SHTF Plan. When it hits the fan, don't say we didn't warn you. Now, this is written by Furfall. Now, if you know who Furfall is, he lived through Argentina's hyperinflation in 2001, and this is when Argentina really tanked. It's a lesson in what happens when everything goes bad. Let's see, Argentina devalued, and then it defaulted on its $132 billion debt, the largest default ever. The middle class took the streets after banks, accounts were frozen, and the president was forced to resign, escaping the presidential building in a helicopter. So this guy knows what he's talking about. Secure a percentage of your savings in bullion, gold or silver. I'm really not a big fan of gold and silver, to be honest with you. That's just me. Let's see, stock up on food. The more you have, the better. There may be periods of civil unrest like the ones we saw with stores being looted and closed after that. There may be problems with resupply because of logistical complications. It's better if you already have 6 to 12 months' worth of food in your expanded pantry. Also, keep in mind the food you buy now will be considered cheaper compared with post-inflation prices. This large supply of food will also bring peace of mind in case of job loss as well. Who knows how long it will be before you find another source of income. After the 2001 collapse, some people spent years looking for a job without finding any. So food is really important, and you want the type that requires little or no cooking, at least for some of it. Water is also essential. Having a two-week supply is advised. The minimum amount is a gallon per person per day. However, you can get away with a half gallon. And you should double that for flushing toilets and taking elemental baths in case the water service is interrupted. That's important. Trying to look at the chat room here. Am I still on the chat room? Okay. Let me refresh the chat room. Sometimes somebody says something important or asks an important question, and I miss it. Now, the next thing here is acquire the essentials by putting together a survival emergency kit. This will include your typical camping gear, a tent, sleeping bags, a stove, have enough fuel for in case services are disrupted, first aid kit, medicines, LED flashlights, and several spare batteries. Depending on how bad civil unrest gets, there may be problems with the infrastructure. After the economy collapsed in Argentina, the power company simply couldn't afford the repairs needed and hadn't planned for something like this either. Rolling blackouts became common, and having LED lights and rechargeable batteries was a blessing. You could easily spend 2 or 3 days without power during summer. At one time, downtown Buenos Aires was left without power for 5 days. Imagine the complication this brings. If natural gas service is interrupted, you may need other ways of cooking. A camping stove and enough fuel will get you through it. And so that's, you know, that's if you ever want to figure out what you need for a disaster, just think camping. All right, that's the best way to do. All right, back in the chat room. Let's see if anything changed. Trying to find some notes here. Find one for food after that. All right, improve your personal and home security. If you ask any Argentinian what concerns him the most, 9 out of 10 will have to say, have the same answer, security. In second place is in the economic situation. 10 years after the economic collapse, things are nothing like they used to be. Half of the middle class became poor, and its standard of living had decreased considerably. We're still a high-risk economy, and it shows. Inflation is still rampant and can be anywhere from 5 to 10% per month. Usually hitting the middle class the worst. But there's something we're grown to that. We're used to it. What concerns them most is crime problems. The out-of-control violent crime we suffer is the major legacy of the economic collapse. Poverty sure didn't help, nor did social segregation. During the first days after the economy collapsed, civil unrest, rioting, and looting was out of control. A state of siege and military law was declared, enforcing curfew hours after 10 p.m. This lasted a few months, and for months after that, while order was recovered in the capital district, there was still occasional revolts and looting. The sense of lawlessness extended way beyond the visible accounts depicted by the TV and general media. It's during times like this you realize you must have means of defending yourself and your family. My advice is to make your home as secure as possible against criminals that may take advantage of the lack of control during the worst of the rioting. After that, a better security plan for the entire family must be worked out. As things get worse, you understand you can no longer afford to be lax about your personal and home security. Those that are quickly become victims. With a more secure home, you may want to consider having a weapon to defend yourself. Certainly not an easy decision, and one you must be extremely serious about. If you have the self-control and maturity to handle one, having a firearm and getting the minimum training to know how to use it, if it ever comes to that, something you should consider doing. So that is really important. Let's talk about that home security real quick. Home security basically means no one's getting in this house without our permission. Who do you have to worry about? The hungry. Number one, the hungry. Number two, those that want to take what you have to feed the hungry. They could be FEMA. They could be the local law enforcement. They could be your neighbor. They could be the bully down the street who thinks your food should be his food. And don't think I'm kidding on that. There are people who are that way, and they usually get worse after they drink. Go figure. Now, when it comes to, you know, hiding your food, never underestimate the power of a good crawl space. But if you're going to do a crawl space, make it so that you can access it through the upper part of your house, so you're not going outside and grabbing the food and coming back inside. So if you have to make a false floor in your base, in your closet, you know, a lot of people look there. They really do. So what if you made a false floor underneath the bed? Isn't that a good place for it? Everybody looks in the closet for false floors, because I know there's a false floor in a lot of, like, motorhomes or manufactured homes and things like this. But put one underneath your bed. Bring up your carpet. You'll expose the flooring, cut through the subfloor, make sure there's no electrical there. You have to crawl underneath the house in order to find it. And, you know, try to use like a keyhole saw, nothing electric like a sawzall. It will take time, sorry, but nobody will know you're doing it. And then pile up garbage around, you know, garbage, I mean stuff. Rose bushes near the entrance to the crawl spaces. And if you're going to put anything there, make sure it's like in a plastic tote and that you've taped it. Like if you put the tote in there and then, because it's usually too big to tape and whatever, you can tape it as you're reaching inside and fill it up that way. You want to keep the critters out. That's number one, keep critters and insects out. So that's what he means by keeping the home secure. Now, when you have firearms in the house, number one thing is you have to be safe with them. You may say, well, I want to get a 52-gauge shotgun or whatever. Okay, that's fine and dandy, except for the fact that if you've got little ones in the house, you may want to think about also getting a trigger lock. If you've got little ones in the house, think about getting a gun safe. Or, because my parents did, you touch this gun, I'm going to break your hands. Just kidding. All right. I've got my 15-minute warning here. So that's one. That's always one choice. Yeah, it worked for me. I don't want to break my hands. So be very safe when it comes to children. You would feel horrible for the rest of your life knowing that your stupidity caused a lot of life, an innocent life. So when you choose your weapon, what you're going to be choosing is you're going to choose something that defends yourself. There are two kinds. There are the, oh my God, he's going to kill me with something that will do me in, like a shotgun. And then there, oh my God, I hope he doesn't hit me with that, you know, a handgun. So you have the handgun, you have a shotgun. Do not recommend getting a rifle for home defense. Shotgun, it'll demotivate you. That's a sound you don't want to hear if you're broken into somebody's house. When you're dealing with shotguns, you want to stick with a simple load, like a double-up buck. You're trying to not really kill the person. Well, actually, you really are, but try to go with a heavy load. But remember, anytime you shoot a weapon in a house or discharge a firearm, it may go through the wall. And so you may want to consider where you're shooting before you actually shoot. If you're shooting out the back, you know, through the person, through the front door, what's behind that door? Because more likely some of the pellets are going to travel through that door. That's really hard. If you know that, you know, if the person is standing in front of your child's door and you shoot, it will probably go through that door. It may hit your child. So always know what's behind the person. You know, you can always keep them at bay until Johnny Law comes to pick them up. That's okay. You don't have to kill them. They'll feel more stupid being known that, you know, some little 60-year-old lady kept them at bay with a .22 caliber pistol, which, by the way, will definitely do you in. It's a pretty horrible thing to die by a small caliber. All right, I am, whoops, not that one. Let's move on. Don't want to do that one. Now, this comes from Survive Economic Collapse, and this is the three keys to long-term food storage, a.k.a. survival food. Can and will your family eat it? As I said before, if it's not what they want to eat, really, should they have to eat it? You're making them eat something they really don't want to eat. And so they're going to pick at it, and food may go to waste. You want to find foods that are packaged with extended shelf life in mind. Here's some examples. White rice, stuck in a can, a number 10 can with an oxygen absorber, will last 25 to 30 years. Hard white wheat, dry packed gallon buckets with several oxygen absorbers will last 25 to 30 years. Dry potatoes. Good example of these dry potatoes. Cheapest ways to go about it is get the mashed potato boxes. They're just as tasty. They're just as yummy. They'll last just as long as they're not opened up. It's comfort food. Get some of the chives. Chives is good. Flour will not last long. Anything with oils in it will also go rancid very quick. So just remember that. The next thing you need to worry about is your ideal storage conditions, your personal storage locations. Many people believe they don't have extra room to store food. Challenge yourself to make the room and find space. Look for space under the beds, top closet shelves, back of the cupboard. Get creative. The last thing I would ever want to see is my family hungry. Do the best you can with your location. That's all you can do. Print out my guidelines for storage plans today. I'm going to copy this and put this in the chat room. So I don't see anybody in the chat room. Makes me worry. Anybody there? Okay. But anyway, there's a little PDF there for you to download. It's very important to stock up on food. It could be an apocalypse. There could be a blizzard. There could be a major earthquake. Maine had an earthquake last week or week before last. Oklahoma, some people are saying the New Madrid fault zone is starting to open up and starting to have problems, unzip. That would be a bad thing. looking at earthquakes in just outside of Anchorage, a 5.0 outside of Anchorage in the harbor. There was some a 7.0, if I'm not mistaken, at least a 6.0, off of Vancouver, British Columbia. So these disasters can strike any point in time. We just have to be ready. It doesn't have to be the end of the world as we know it, Mayan calendar, December 21st. It can be tomorrow. It could be next week. It could be the 22nd, and we have a solar flare, and puts us back in the 1850s. So if we're prepared, we're not going to be panicking. And if we're prepared, then we can help other people not panic. It's really easy. You can just tell them, it's okay. Everything will be fine. All right? I'm not saying that you should give them your food, but I'm saying that maybe if your neighbors and you got together and stocked up together, because you're going to want to keep your food intact and they're going to want to keep their food intact, and so you both can work together to keep both people's foods, both families' foods intact. Really simple. It's not rocket science. If you make a plan and you include your neighbors, make a pact with them, I'm not going to eat your food, you're not going to eat my food, but we're going to keep each other's food safe. We're going to keep a watch. We'll do security together. I've got a neighbor who's handicapped. Does not mean he cannot sit in that window and watch for bad guys. Okay? Does not mean that he is useless. He is handicapped. He's not dead. I don't care if you're quadriplegic. You can still help out during a collapse, during an apocalypse, during a disaster. You still have a voice. You still have an ability. Paraplegics, quadriplegics, mentally handicapped, disabled, developmentally delayed, whatever, you're not a burden. You are still useful. So don't let anybody say, oh, I'm handicapped, I can't prepare. No, you can. It's not that hard. And you'll be an asset when the time comes. I reject any kind of allegation or assertion that they're useless. Even if they say it themselves, they're not useless. They're very, very important. All right, well, I have like 7 minutes left, and I don't see the next ones on. And who is the next ones on? Paranormal CSI, coming up at 10 p.m. Eastern. And let's see if they log into the chat room. I'll keep talking. Some of the best ways you can also get information is listening or following Twitter. The main Twitter feed is a really great way of keeping up to date on any kind of disaster. Let's say, for example, there is an earthquake in Missouri, and people report, oh my God, my house just collapsed. It was probably a little more than a 6.0 earthquake. And then you keep looking at the Twitter. I'm here in Chicago, and the entire Lake Superior just drained out. This is a really good indication that there might be some problems going on in the world, and you should probably be preparing. So use Twitter as a good, instant live feed for what's going on in the world. It gives you the opportunity to be prepared before, it comes out on the radio. So your Twitter feed can be found on any of the devices that we have. There's Android and there's tablets and iPhones and whatnot. So use those as an asset, as a resource. The next one I would definitely say is radio, because radio is, they can break in any time. You can listen to it anywhere on the road. You don't have to have a TV handy. It's just that easy. Well, we've got about 35 seconds left, and the next time I've got a show is on the 23rd, which is Christmas weekend. And so I will see everybody then, and I hope I do better on my material. I think I've been kind of hit and miss, and I do apologize for that. All right, let's see. This is the end. I have to find the right ending. And all right, talk to you all later. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.